Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
So you just watched the opener of part two of season six of The Sopranos last night. So you've got nine left.
Tonight is stage five, and I haven't decided yet if I'm going to watch the whole thing or if I'm going to watch like half of it like I have been doing, just try to keep myself honest.
How do you feel about that, Tanny? I feel like the episodes are made to be experienced in totality. I don't love the start and the stop.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really enjoying it, but like I said, we talk about this often, all right? I go home to absolutely nobody but my dog. I need something to look forward to.
He's got no wife. He's got no kids. People live alone. They get like that.
If you think it's better that way, I'll watch an entire episode tonight. Stage five.
Stage five is one of my favorite episodes. I think it might be in my top five. Great cameo in that one.
I killed my wife. I killed her aunt, too. And the mailman. At that point, I had to fully commit.
Anthony Jr. is a real jackass, isn't he?
You just reveal your own ignorance.
I tweeted a while ago during Christmas break that I thought that Chris Moltisanti was the worst character in the show.
No! How could you say that?
Which is the worst take of all time.
Yeah, but it was like right after he had beat the crap out of Aid.
Forget about Cosette.
You killed the dog. What'd you do that for?
It was an accident. What was it, barking?
Do you think there's a worse opinion than the worst character in The Sopranos is Chris?
I don't know, Tony. It's like just the regularness of life is too hard for me or something. I don't know.
I got a lot of hate for that one on Twitter.
Rightfully so.
I got ratioed so hard when I said that.
Maybe that's why Michael Imperioli never responded to come on the show.
This was after.
They say there's no two people on Earth exactly the same. No two faces, no two sets of fingerprints. But do they know that for sure? Because they would have to get everybody together in one huge space. And obviously that's not possible, even with computers. But not only that, they'd have to get all the people who ever lived, not just the ones now. So they got no proof.
They got nothing.
What I'm saying is,
thank you, Chris.
One, two, three.
And here we go, Tim. Here we go. Here we go, Tim. Here we go, Tony.
Parkins and Spiegel Show, afternoons 2 to 6 on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
4 hours a day, 20 hours a week, we have a lot of bad opinions on this show, mostly by me. But I can confidently say that none have been worse. Maybe some have been as bad, but none have been worse than Christopher Moltisanti, worst character in The Sopranos. Did you enjoy the episode last night, Shane?
So here's the problem, man. I was very tired last night for I don't know what reason.
And yeah, I was like half a chicken last night.
A chicken quarter. It's called a chicken quarter for a reason.
It's quarter
one
of
thigh
a chicken.
And one leg. That's all I had. And Brussels sprouts. It was a very healthy meal. I was falling in and out of sleep the entire time, so I've got to rewatch stage five.
Wow.
Okay. Which is great for me, because remember, the loneliness.
Extends loneliness another day.
And I need to extend this as long as I can. So it's fine.
All right. Well, I hope you enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I wish I had more of an update for you. Like,
it's fine.
I watched two full episodes or something like that. But I got through it, but I don't remember half of it.
Did you recognize the cameo?
Yeah, from Shooter McGavin.
No, that's not the one I was talking about. But yes, he is in it. It's a good call by you. It's a good
Sydney Pollack.
Yeah, Sydney Pollack was the doctor, the former doctor who was tending to Johnny Sack.
Who is Sydney Pollack?
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Who is Sydney Pollack?
We'll move along. It's Shooter McGavin.
Sydney Irvin Pollack was an American film director, producer, and actor. Pollack directed more than 20 films and 10 television shows. He's from Lafayette, Indiana. Married to Claire Griswold from 1958 to 2008. Who is this guy?
A fairly significant figure in the history of American cinema and entertainment.
Oh, I don't care, you virgin. I don't care about that.
Okay, yeah.
You talk about your directors, dork.
All right. Sydney Pollack's in an episode of The Sopranos. Yeah. What do you mean, Shooter McGavin?
Shooter McGavin. That's what I noticed.
Yeah, Shooter McGavin.
What do you want from me here, man?
Yeah, no, it's fine. It's fine.
I think that is one of the more odd one-off characters in Sopranos.
That's fair.
Shooter McGavin?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's... I asked the question if you noticed the cameo. You gave a correct answer.
Yeah, it's like seeing the world through a child's eyes.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Not what I was expecting you to say, but a correct answer all the same.
Yeah, I just thought that was a doctor locked up, man. I just thought that was a former doctor who was in prison for killing the mailman and killing his wife and her mother, the dog.
No, it's fine. Shooter McGavin.
That's a pretty good gig, Danny, isn't it? I think they were mentioning on the Talking Sopranos podcast how Sydney Pollack that day they flew him in on a jet, like just for the one scene. And then boom, he's back to doing whatever he was doing, being rich and famous.
Being rich and famous and an icon and a legend and his peers. Hey, I'm gonna fly in charter, appear on the hottest show in critically acclaimed television history, basically, and then I'm gonna go home, and it'll just always be a nice little fun thing on my old IMDb page for Shane Reardon to not know who I am 20 years later and think I was Shooter, or not think I was Shooter McGavin, but overlook me for Shooter McGavin.
The Shooter McGavin cameo was a bigger deal for me.
Understand.
Than Sydney freaking Pollack.
All right,
not even alive anymore, man.
He's not. That is
if he's
true.
So great, yeah. Why?
Yeah, if that guy's
so good, why isn't he alive?
Yeah. It's funny how that works sometimes.
Wish they would have come across the pig hearts for people sooner. For all you Sydney Pollack fans. Who the hell is this guy?
Who the hell is this guy? Oh my god. That is I didn't see it coming.
If I can't book him, I don't care. That's how I look.
That's reasonable. Okay. Who did you say that you've been trying to book for forever recently that is very much alive?
Jim Belushi.
Jim Belushi.
The hashtag grind for Belushi never stops.
He was
never
on Adam Carolla's show yesterday. He's popping up everywhere.
Wow.
Except here.
I can't get in touch with Jim frickin' Belushi.
I bet you Pappy's got a line on him.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, we got Mike North, no problem. He'll be on the show today at 5.
Bill Fichtner is on the station more often than Brad frickin' Biggs, and I can't get Jim Belushi.
Fichtner confirmed, by the way, for Monday after Chiefs Bills.
Fichtner at 3:20 on Monday.
All right, beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful.
Brad Biggs on every 5 minutes, and I can't get Jim Belushi.
It's all right. It's okay. And Jim Belushi's still doing stuff. He still has things to promote. He should be gettable, Shane. He should be gettable.
I agree with you.
Shep will get him. I'm just thinking about other people who have Rolodexes that we can ask. Pappy, Shep.
Shep doesn't have a Rolodex.
I'm just saying, it's possible. We're gonna find him. We're gonna find Jim Belushi for you. When I watched your Instagram of you making the chicken last night, I know that Bulls game was on in the background though. Yeah, because you're a hoops junkie.
Yeah, I was shooting up last night before.
Yeah, you got your fix. That's good.
Not enough making his quarter chicken.
Yeah, that's right. I was very wrong on how that game was going to go, but the Bulls, because of all of this adversity that they've found themselves in, and if you hadn't heard the news, Lonzo Ball has opted to have surgery on his meniscus, so he's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks, which obviously sucks and hurts the Bulls a lot in the short term, but assuming that he can come back and there are no setbacks, he should be back with obviously plenty of time to ramp up and get back into basketball shape in time for the playoffs. And it's good to have Alex Caruso back. Alex Caruso's amazing. Like, He comes back. He's on a minutes restriction. And, like, who's he guarding? He's guarding Kevin Love. And this is not, like, Olympic version of Kevin Love. This is not Kevin Love at, you know, 25-12 Kevin Love. But he's still giving up a good 5 inches, 6 inches of height to Kevin Love and just playing crazy, scrappy, hard-nosed defense. And the Bulls are just a much better, more energetic team with Caruso on the floor. And DeMar DeRozan was incredible last night. But with Zach LaVine out and with now Lonzo out and with some of the front court depth, you know, out with the injuries, I feel like we've kind of transformed back to preseason Bulls expectations. Now, when they're healthy, we will still hold them to the standard of, hey, why can't they win a championship? Hey, why can't they win the East? Maybe they can go get the one seed. But right now, like, that win last night was a product of effort. Like, how we talk about the try-hard Bulls, some of the teams that we've loved as Bulls fans the last, you know, post-dynasty couple of decades, right? Like, you think about the Andres Nocioni, Kirk Heinrich, Ben Gordon, Luol Deng. You think about those Bulls teams. Obviously, Taj and Joakim and Jimmy and Derek and Tibbs and, like, those teams, they were not good enough to win, but they were a pain in the ass. They were a thorn in the other team's side. They overachieved, and they were just damn likable. And then people would do silly things like, ah, we're a blue-collar town, and they take on the personality of the city. And they're NBA players who largely live in California and Miami in the offseason. But the Bulls last night were undermanned and an underdog. And they fought like hell. And they controlled that game from the second quarter on. And it was just awesome to see. It was just a great performance to snap that losing skid, to deal with more adversity, to know that your star in LaVine is out, to know that another one of your stars in Lonzo Ball is out, and that the reinforcements are not coming anytime soon, and to just kind of bear down and not care and beat a team that is healthier than you and by the record is not much worse than you. Like, the Cavs are the 4 seed in the East, you know, as of yesterday's standings. So there's something I would much rather, obviously, root for a team fully healthy with a ton of pressure and a ton of expectations and a very high bar for them to live up to. But some of the best, most fun, easy time to be a fan is when the team is on the come, when they're on the way up. They don't really have the burden of failure or expectation on them yet. And it's just like they're surprising you. And now we kind of get to settle back in to that. Like, the wins against good teams, if they come, we will not really be able to expect them because they are so short-staffed. And I know that that's not what Billy Donovan would say, right? Tibbs would always say, we got more than enough to win. But we knew it wasn't true. Like, when Derek got hurt, we knew it wasn't true. They didn't have more than enough to win. And right now, like, if the playoffs started today without Zach LaVine and without Lonzo Ball, the Bulls do not have more than enough to win. Maybe they'd win a series, but they don't. And so, for whatever that's worth, I think it's going to largely put a pause on trading Patrick Williams, trading Kobe White, trading Io. I think it's going to just largely just say, okay, this team is really good, but really banged up, and we just got to get healthy and back and into the playoffs and then see where the chips fall. And it doesn't mean you don't watch the games, doesn't mean you don't care about them, it doesn't mean there aren't standards still attached to them, doesn't mean that when they play bad teams, they still don't have more than enough to beat them. Like, but this team right now is closer to a middle-of-the-pack playoff team in the Eastern Conference than a top-flight team in the Eastern Conference, as presently constituted. Get Zach LaVine back, it's a different conversation. And hopefully that's only, you know, 4 or 5 more games. But for, like, this stretch of time right now, I think that we can kind of just settle in and look at them and say, they're way better than we thought. They're really likable. They play really hard. They play a fun brand of basketball. And let's get healthy for the playoffs, for when the measuring stick really, when it really starts. And it kind of sucks that we only got the one game where everyone was healthy against the Nets and they got their doors blown off. Like, that one will stick with us and sting for a little bit. But I think the ceiling is still super high for this team if they're all healthy. So now the number one priority is just getting everyone back healthy. Because DeMar DeRozan's amazing. Like, I got to stop. Like, I said I was wrong on the contract. I was wrong on the years. And I thought if he was going to go 5 points per game in a direction, up or down, it was more likely that he would go down because players don't normally have career seasons at 32. But the next time someone says to you, the Bulls can't win the East, or the Bulls can't win the championship, the Bulls couldn't beat the Bucks, the Bulls couldn't beat the Nets, ask that person if they would feel that way if the Bulls had Kobe Bryant. My guess is they would say no. If someone says to you the Bulls can't beat the Bucks or the Bulls can't beat the Nets because they don't have the star power, say, would you feel that way if they had Kobe Bryant? And my guess is they'll say no, and then quote them DeMar DeRozan's stats this year. Kobe Bryant's career averages, 25 points per game. This year, DeMar DeRozan, 25.6. Kobe Bryant, career rebounds per game, 5.2. DeMar DeRozan, 5.0. Kobe Bryant, career average assists per game, 4.7. DeMar DeRozan this year, 4.8. Kobe Bryant, career field goal percentage, 44.7. DeMar DeRozan this year, 48.6. Kobe Bryant, career three-point shooting percentage, 32.9. DeMar DeRozan this year, 34.7. DeMar DeRozan is having a Kobe Bryant season, period. He doesn't have the name recognition. He's not a top 15 player of all time. He's not an international icon. But DeMar DeRozan is having a Kobe Bryant-esque season this year. Plus Zach LaVine, plus Lonzo, plus Vooch, who's crazy frustrating right now, plus Io, plus Kobe White, plus what they make, whatever they add at the deadline, plus hopefully Patrick Williams coming back, plus Caruso. I mean, this team has a crazy high ceiling when healthy, and they're really not healthy right now. So I think we get to just kind of exhale, enjoy the games, lower our standards a little bit for the short term, and then circle back around when they get healthy. Because you don't want to grind DeMar DeRozan into the ground. If that dude is healthy and playing at this level come playoff time and the rest of the team is healthy, they have just about as high a ceiling as anyone. 4A games from the Nets beats anyone. The Bucks' best is probably better than the Bulls' best, but not by that much. This team's got a crazy high ceiling when healthy, and now the number one goal for the season is just getting healthy in time for the playoffs. And it kind of, at least for me anyway, takes a little bit of the game-to-game pressure off where they're at. Dave Wannstedt at 4 o'clock. We'll get into the Bears coaching search with him. But today, a significant wrong that affected this show has been righted. It's next on The Score.
Harkins and Spiegel Show Flashback.
Here's the latest from the Exergen Weather Center. The sun is out, and the Chicago Sun-Times has rated Chicago media personalities. It's 40 degrees in downtown Chicago.
Shane, we can get to this sports media ranking that you included in your weather update.
Jeff Agrist, God bless his heart, at the Chicago Sun-Times released a power-ranked list of Chicago media personalities. Number one is barely pulling a 1.0 in the demo.
So it's Chicago media, not just sports media.
Chicago media
Chicago
personalities.
Chicago
sports media personalities.
Oh, it's sports media.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you can't find yourself in the top 17 of this list, I don't know what you're doing.
Thanks. As I come in at number 18. I like how that dig was a dig at both of us. And both Speaks and I hit Shane with the sarcastic thanks. Because I came in at 18th on Jeff Agrest's power ranking last year in the top 20. And Speaks came in with the sarcastic thanks because he was not in the top 20. But Agrest, guy's just getting smarter with age. That's what I always say about Jeff Agres from the Chicago Sun-Times. Throw out your mocking King of the Bat Flip Brian Goodwin jerseys and your personalized 18 White Sox jerseys. Just give me all your old Jay Cutler jerseys now, because your boy came in at number 6 on the list. Man. Score well represented, by the way. Congratulations to Jason Benetti, number 1. Very deserving. No one more talented, smart, funny, hardworking. Adam Amin, number 2. Pat Hughes, number 3. John Shambi comes in 4th. Jason Goff, our guy, number 5. Good for Goff, man. Top person who's not a play-by-play person in the on the list. Tanny produces and co-hosts his podcast over on The Ringer, The Full Go. For Goff, they write, "Don't call it a comeback because Goff has been here for years. He's just recreated as the host of Bulls pregame and postgame shows on the podcast The Full Go with Jason Goff on Bill Simmons' platform, The Ringer. Not a bad guy to have in your corner." I come in at 6. Score again, well represented. Lawrence Holmes, number 7. Layla, 10. Bernstein, 11. Steve Stone, 16. Ozzie Guillen, 18. Olin Krutz comes in at number 19 on the list. So what do you guys think about Agrest's new and improved rankings for this year? What do you think?
I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I just want to say, you know, how cool it is, and congratulations. It's awesome to be working with someone in the top 5. Congrats, Jason.
Yeah.
Well deserved.
Yeah. Thought that might have how you felt about that. I get it. That's well done. Congrats to Jason and Tanny for their top 5 rankings.
Who is this awesome producer that, you know, produces up the guys in 5 and 6?
Yeah.
I mean, geez, 2 guys in the top 10.
Yeah, it's true. Tanny, you should find yourself on this list.
I mean, I don't do the podcast anymore, so I can't. Maybe next year.
Maybe next year. What do you think, Shane? Are we going to get me a number 6 White Sox jersey for this upcoming season?
I mean, I put my Venmo out there on Twitter. Anybody wants to contribute to a Danny White Sox Road Gray number 6 jersey, my Venmo is Shane Reardon. But so far in like 40 minutes, no donations.
Well, we got plenty of time. Baseball's not going to get going until July. So we got time before you'll see us out of the ballpark with number 6 here.
That's good. I got to say, number 6, not nearly as funny as number 18.
No, not nearly as funny.
Six feels about right, if I'm being totally honest with you.
Okay.
About right. Yeah, I think about right.
I think you made quite the jump.
I do too.
Maybe too many spots.
Maybe.
I can tell one thing is for certain.
Yeah.
You are the only one who used their platform to lobby to be higher on the list.
That's right.
So it worked. So,
yeah, that's right.
You know? What can you say?
Congratulations.
We drove a lot of traffic to Agrest last year with my complaining about my placement on the list. And so now this wrong has been righted, and 6 is it's respectable, but now I'm coming for that hack Jason Benetti. That's next. We'll go for number 1. Next year.
Everyone else on this list treats it like Chuck Garfine tweets the From the 108 bracket, where he just doesn't mention it at all, pays zero attention to it. You treat it like, I know I'm the analogy and metaphor guy here, but I'm drawing a blank.
Keep going. Forget it, he's rolling.
You treat it like Paul Konerko treats the Ilya rant,
okay,
where it's the most important thing in the world.
It's not. It last year it pissed me off. I am not ashamed to admit it. But this year I'm fine with it.
And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
That's right. 6. That's fine. 6. It's reasonable. 6, 7, 10. Play-by-play people, analysts, like, I mean, come on. Steve Stone is as good as any analyst in the country, and he is 16. You know, it's an arbitrary thing. But
imagine if obviously Jason Benetti doesn't have to do this because he's number 1. Imagine if Stoney just in the middle of a game with Sox and, you know, in Pirates, like, you know, this list here, I think I could do better. Like,
yeah.
Imagine if he used his platform for that cause, how high he'd be up on it.
That's true.
Not everyone has the ability to do that like you do.
Hey, people are tweeting about it. where they are on the list. I see Jason tweeting about it. I see Layla tweeting about it. So, you know, it's nice to have your name in the paper. It's nice to just be mentioned. We all have egos. I can at least admit that I have one. And, yeah, it's nice to see the arrow trending in the right direction. Poor Cap, by the way. Cap falling from number one to number 10.
Oh, who cares?
That's got to be.
That's why this list is such trash. What did Cap do less this year than he wasn't doing last year?
Nothing.
Exactly.
Of course.
That's a monumental fall for, dare I say it, the nicest man in sports media.
You think he's nicer than me?
His show sucks, but he's really nice.
He's really good. He's a very nice guy. Very nice guy. All right. Well, number six. I guess I'll buy this one. I guess I'll buy the hard copy of this one. I couldn't bring myself to buy it.
Does he put it in the paper?
It was on the cover last year. It was the back cover of Slow News Day. It was the back cover of the Sun Times last year. You don't remember that?
I tried to shut it out.
Yeah, I understand. A lot of media coverage, by the way. These days, you guys saw that Shane's good buddy and funeral neighbor, John Greenberg, handicapped the list for who's going to replace Les overnight. Mark Grody, a huge favorite on the board there.
I don't want to derail this, but real quick, can we mention that the description for Danny on number six was because of something that Olin said on the show? That's my favorite part of it.
Danny being at number six complimented the entire show. So we as a collective are number six. Just well, Danny's name is on it.
You guys maybe, but I closer to number five. Identify as five because of the Jason association. And,
okay,
we know. Okay, we know you do. Okay, we know your favorite show.
Therapy was last night, right? Right, Danny.
Did you get off of here? Any good lines in therapy?
I had a lot of material that I worked out. I can't wait for next week's
that
session.
TikTok that Shane sent out to the
group was perfect.
Yeah,
just kids.
And the fact that we were talking about monologuing in therapy about an hour prior. I'm swiping TikTok on the red line going home, and it's a girl closing her computer, wrapping up my 45-minute stand-up with my therapist.
And then it played the music.
SNL theme, yeah.
Yeah, the SNL theme. Yeah.
Oh, my God, that was great. These phones, man, I've been saying it for quite a while. They're spying on us.
You're the only one made that observation. But do you guys never feel that way about therapy? You never feel like you're getting you're trying to impress your therapist or you're trying to make them laugh or anything like that?
I actually don't. After I saw that TikTok, I thought about it and thinking, have I ever monologued or exaggerated something in therapy? And since I'm actually trying to fix myself, no, I haven't.
What do you mean exaggerate? I don't think that's what, maybe that is what it is.
I think that's how I interpreted that TikTok in our conversation yesterday.
Oh, see, That's interesting. I had not thought about it in those terms. I had thought about it in the sometimes laughter, sometimes laughter is the easiest form of therapy. So I definitely find myself making my therapist laugh sometimes.
Okay.
That is, you know what I mean? And just because it's a coping mechanism to joke about sad stuff or serious stuff. Like, you got to cut the tension in there sometimes. I don't want to dread therapy, you know, and so sometimes you have to, you want to have some sort of working relationship, but there's no question that I've tested out lines in therapy. I will say that is that not what they're there for? They're there to make you feel better about yourself.
I don't know if they're there to make you feel better. I think they're there to help you figure yourself out. Your therapist doesn't open up that computer screen thinking, how can I make Danny feel better about himself today? I think they want you to feel worse.
Feel worse?
Big therapy needs you coming back.
Ah, well, listen, you can't fix the problems that I have. So I'm coming back. I'll be there. I'll be there in perpetuity, okay? Fixing what I have is not any... No one could do that. No amount of therapy is fixing this broken soul that I have.
Was your therapist anxiously awaiting Jeff Agres' list today? Like, oh, God, here we go. Is it going to be a bad week next week or not? Oh, thank God. Number six.
I talk very little about work in therapy. I gotta say, I know I caused Shane some angst.
No, where like, we talk about that, we joke about that, but honest to God, this place does not come up often.
That's good. We're very blessed.
It did often when I was in my previous role, but now that I am no longer, it doesn't come up very often.
That was like a week ago.
Yeah, I know.
That you transitioned from that role. You've not been a suit for less than a month.
Feels great, man.
Good. I'm glad. But no, work comes up sometimes, but not terribly often, man. You got, which is, we're lucky. This job is therapy in its own right. But it's an outlet, and it's fun, and it's creative, and it can even be fulfilling when your close personal friends and colleagues just take every opportunity to make fun of you and needle you and then make you question your own self-worth. I am definitely scheduling a second appointment for next week. But we have Dave Wannstedt at 4 o'clock. There is a story out there about a candidate for the Bears that, if it's true, I think should terrify the Bears. It's next on the Score.
I have a pretty good source who tells me that he was told that there was a brief phone conversation, but he wasn't clear whether it was between Jim or a representative of his and who it was with the Bears, but just that there was a contact, you know, checking the temperature. That's all I was told by a pretty good source. I know what complicates this is Jim does not have an agent, but, you know, he has people close to him, and so that could have happened in any one of a thousand ways, and I don't know any more about it than that.
That's Hub Arkish. You hear him on this station all the time, talking about his friend Jim Harbaugh and the idea of a call with the Bears, but nothing further than that. He's not reporting that anything's happening or the NFL. He says he hasn't talked to him recently. But Bruce Feldman, college football reporter over at The Athletic, cited Michigan football sources who says and believe that Jim Harbaugh would take the Raiders' job if offered. Harbaugh has never stayed at a job more than 4 years. He hops around, and you read guys like Albert Breer. They say everybody who knows Jim Harbaugh will say, very tough to read. I was reading another story about someone who says, I've known Jim Harbaugh for 30 years, and I feel like I don't even know him. He's a very tough dude to predict. But Bruce Feldman continues to report that there is a belief inside of Michigan that if the Raiders offered Jim Harbaugh their head coaching job, that he would take it. He's got family ties to the Las Vegas area. He started, he had a coaching stint with the Raiders, and he is friendly with Mark Davis. This hiring cycle right now is going slow, and that does not bother me. The Bears are casting a wide net. To me, that is a good thing. But none of the names that are out there right now are slam dunk home run hires, except Jim Harbaugh. But his name isn't really out there because we don't know if he's interviewed or if he's even leaving Ann Arbor. But sometimes slam dunk home run hire candidates come up where a team will only interview one or two people, hire them, three other teams are interested, you've got to make a run for it. I use the Mike McCarthy example where the Cowboys, you know, did the perfunctory interview with Marvin Lewis to satisfy the Rooney Rule requirements and then immediately hired Mike McCarthy. I disagree with that being a home run hire, obviously, but they viewed that as, oh my God, we can't believe he's available, we have to go get him. So that's how the Chiefs handled the Andy Reid situation when he left Philadelphia. Sometimes those coaches are on the market. Brian Daboll, Nathaniel Hackett, Byron Leftwich, Todd Bowles, Leslie Frazier. They might be good coaches. They might not. But Brian Flores, they might be home run hires. You know, Matt Eberflus, they might not be. They all come with concerns, caveats, question marks, etc. Jim Harbaugh's won everywhere he's gone. He's won in college. He's won in the NFL. He's developed quarterbacks. He's performed at a high level. He has ties to the Bears. He's a culture setter. He's a name. If Jim Harbaugh takes an NFL job, and it's not the Bears, that's a huge stain on the McCaskey family and the Bears organization. That'd be an embarrassment. You have connections to Jim Harbaugh. He played here. Like, that you have to, if that guy stays at Michigan, fine. Fine. It's his alma mater. He might put the number one pick into the NFL draft. He's got a top quarterback prospect coming in. He just made the college football playoff. He just won National Coach of the Year. Fine. If he stays put and uses this interest to get him a raise and a new contract and a bunch of money, some of the money that he gave back before this past season, okay, fine. Then no one was going to be able to get him away from the alma mater, and he's got unfinished business in Ann Arbor. No shame in you couldn't get Jim Harbaugh because Jim Harbaugh stays. But if Jim Harbaugh leaves and you can't get him, that's a terrible look. Because I firmly believe, until proven otherwise, with most people, there's a number. And I know this makes me sound callous or money hungry or capitalistic, whatever you want to say. But with most people, there's a number. And if Jim Harbaugh is willing to leave Michigan for the NFL, there's a number that would get him to come to Chicago. And that number does not count against the salary cap, and the Bears are worth $5 billion, and they can afford it. So now Mark Davis and the Raiders can afford it too. They gave John Gruden 10 years, $100 million. It didn't work, but they took a huge swing for a personality and an identity and a culture setter at coach, and they got it done, and they financed the stadium, and they moved and relocated the team under the auspices of, we got our guy in John Gruden. We've got our face of the franchise. We've got our icon. We've got our identity. And while I like Brian Flores, and I like Brian Daboll, and I like Nathaniel Hackett, none of those guys are that. Brian Flores is the closest. Brian Flores has an opinion on everything, thinks he can control everything, and he's won in the NFL as a head coach. So Brian Flores is the highest profile candidate that we know to be available. And I would celebrate that hire loudly and proudly if they got him. But that's different than Harbaugh, because of Harbaugh's personality, his tie to the organization, and his offensive continuity that it would provide. Brian Flores, 3 offensive coordinators in 3 years, a defensive coach. He alone does not answer the Justin Fields question. Jim Harbaugh alone answers the Justin Fields question. We would be able to say, okay, he's got a guy. Fields has a coach who was with Andrew Luck, was with Colin Kaepernick when he had quarterback talent. He was able to perform at a high level. We have Justin Fields now in the hands of someone competent and someone consistent. The worry with Flores is he butts heads with the next offensive coordinator, or the next offensive coordinator leaves for a head coaching job, or whatever the case may be. There could be inconsistency on offense if you hire Brian Flores. There would be no inconsistency on offense if you hire Jim Harbaugh, because it would be Jim Harbaugh. So if Jim Harbaugh goes to the Raiders, the McCaskey family, in 11 months when they do their next press conference, will have some tough questions to answer, because there should be nothing precluding him from doing it. Now, if he comes out and says, listen, this is where I met my wife, and we wanted to live in Las Vegas for the rest of our lives. We plan to coach here for the next 15 years, and then I plan to retire here and hang out with grandparents. You know, happy wife, happy life. But you cannot allow yourself, for monetary reasons or football reasons, to get beaten out by another NFL team for Jim Harbaugh when you're trying to bring in a new identity, establish a winning culture, develop Justin Fields, fund a stadium, move a team out of the city. Like, you've got a lot riding on this thing. And maybe Leslie Frazier will be good. God, that would be boring, though. That would be about as uninspiring of a hire as you can make. Maybe Matt Eberflus will be great. But those guys do not do for you and your fan base and your business and your quarterback what Jim Harbaugh does. So when I read that story from Feldman, it wasn't definitive. It was citing Michigan sources. It admitted that Harbaugh's tough to read. But if Harbaugh goes to the Raiders, it will be a terrible look for the Chicago Bears. And I would just be guessing. People are like, well, what do you think is going to happen? I don't know. If people who have known Jim Harbaugh for 30 years say they feel like they don't really know Jim Harbaugh, how the hell am I going to tell you what he's going to do? I have no idea. But all I can tell you is if he does go to another NFL team and it's not the Bears, that's a terrible look for the Bears. And if they don't even try, because there's like some, are they trying? Are they doing the back channels? Do they want him? That would just, man. Because my concern with what's happening here is that Bill Polian is going after people that he knows. And I know that that's how a lot of people get hired in this world. So it would not make the Bears unique. But there's a lot of Bills on the list. There's a lot of Colts on the list. There's a lot of direct ties to Bill Polian and his job history and his resume on the list. Please make the call and make Jim Harbaugh say no. And make him say no to that. If he's saying no to you, he's saying no to everybody. Because you're not getting Jim Harbaugh for 5 years, $25 million. You're just not. So you got to be eight figures annually. $10 million plus. My guess is he answers the call. Does he say yes? I don't know. But he at least answers the call. Dave Wannstedt talks to Jim Harbaugh. He's going to join us from Naples, probably with a cocktail, maybe with Whitey going through his fridge. Who the hell knows? We're going to talk about Jim Harbaugh and the Bears coaching search. We're not going to talk to Jim. That'd be a hell of a thing. With Dave Wannstedt next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.